CBS News. I'm Harley Karn. A judge is expected to rule at any moment in New York on pleas by Occupy Wall Street organizers to be allowed to retake and set up camp again in the park city police cleared out this morning. One of the occupiers, Bill Dobbs.
The ideas which Occupy Wall Street has put into public discussion around this country and the world will continue, and our organizing will continue, and we'll be regrouping.
200 people were arrested, and police have prevented anyone from re-entering that park until their commanders say different. More alleged victims of sex abuse are coming forward, according to sources close to the investigation into former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky and his Pennsylvania charity, Second Mile. CBS News investigative producer Pat Milton.
The source told us that the state police are interviewing the alleged victims and are investigating the alleged victims.
Four men are accused of plotting their own insurrection against the U.S. government.
I'm Pete Combs in Gainesville, Georgia. With FBI testimony and audio surveillance clips, federal prosecutors pointed to two of the four defendants, Fred Thomas and Dan Roberts, as determined to assassinate judges, prosecutors, and federal agents within the year. They bought what they thought were plastic explosives, a silencer, and a kit to convert an assault rifle into a fully automatic weapon.
They're talking big money in Washington, but not settling on any numbers yet at the National Debt Supercommittee.
With a week and a day left before the deadline that triggers automatic spending cuts, Congress's supercommittee is still struggling to bridge a partisan divide on how to reduce the deficit. They're still talking and still trying, and Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says he thinks they'll get a deal.
We've got just a little bit of time left. Frequently in the legislative process, deals come together near the end. My view is that failure is not an option.
Democratic Senate Leader Harry Reid is less optimistic, and each side is saying the problem is the other side is too stubborn on the issue of taxes. Bob, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Federal Education Department says 11 states are asking for a waiver to avoid the proficiency requirements of No Child Left Behind. Critics have called the law too rigid and its standards that students achieve passing scores too unrealistic. If you really want to live in a college town, it pays to know which ones are affordable. Coldwell Banker's annual survey of three-bedroom, two-bath home prices near 120 colleges out today. CEO Jim Gillespie.
7 of the 10 are in the Midwest. The second most affordable is in Muncie, Indiana, which is Ball State University. Third most affordable is Ypsilanti, Michigan, which is Eastern Michigan University.
And the hands-down winner was Memphis, Tennessee. The priciest college towns were mostly West Coast. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 54 points. Nasdaq's gained to 33. S&P's up 9. Oil, almost $100 a barrel now. This is CBS News.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamond. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
Is BPA going to be on your Thanksgiving dinner table?
What's in your Thanksgiving dinner?
Green beans and cream of mushroom soup for green bean casserole, turkey gravy, creamed corn, cranberry sauce, and pumpkin and evaporated milk for pumpkin pie.
Gretchen Lee Salter, Breast Cancer Fund. Testing cans with those fixins, cans that are lined with a coating that contains a chemical linked to breast cancer.
Sure, you have really no way of knowing if BPA is in that can that you're buying for your Thanksgiving meal.
But from Campbell's spokesman, Anthony Sanzio,
put simply, if we thought BPA was unsafe, we would not use it in can linings.
Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Report cards with advertising. Jefferson County Public Schools in Colorado expect to make about $30,000 a year allowing small ads on report cards. The school board says it's small, but it's an easy enough way to raise a little money in hard times. For the advertiser, it's a market of 86,000 kids and their families, and they have to look at that card. Harley Karnes, CBS News.
You're stranded by the side of the road. It's raining, 1 a.m, and your car has a flat tire. Too bad your Motor Club membership expired years ago. Who can you call for help? Allstate wants everyone to be protected on the road. So before this happens to you, give them a call. Because right now, Allstate is giving every driver in America a free lifetime membership and good hands roadside assistance just for calling. You don't even have to be an Allstate customer. You'll get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. So down the road, when you need help, you'll know you're in good hands.
Call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today and get a lifetime membership in good hands roadside assistance absolutely free. You can't afford not to call. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
It is Tuesday, noontime, time for lunch, time for great things to happen on Talk is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network. I'm going to tell you about something great.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
big day. All right, here's what's going on. At 12:30, Reverend Kurt Miner is going to be in because he's got a special event going on in his church, and it's a production, a musical production that's happening this weekend. And there's people in it. I know there's a number of people in it. I'm very familiar with these people. And so we're going to talk about that. That's going to be fun. And then at 1:05, we will have Karen Vealey back in as we continue with the amazing saga of the Air Pollution Control District here in San Luis Obispo County. And I have what I think is the obvious thing to do, and you don't have to be spending thousands of dollars to do it. And all that's going to be really quite simple. Let's get that. Oh, by the way, in case you hadn't heard, last night the NBA Players Association committed the most egregious of technical fouls against themselves.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Country Oaks Care Center. Caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henney. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Looking for a great holiday gift idea that won't break the bank? Remember this name.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
That's right.
Slow Roasted Coffee.
They're your local neighbors, and their coffee is always a crowd pleaser. Now's the time of year to enjoy Slow Roasted Coffee's special holiday blends. Candy cane, pumpkin pie, winter wonderland, and a favorite, cinnamon gingerbread. Folks love their coffee, and if you're wondering what to give your coworker or need to pick up a host gift before you go to that holiday party, it's Slow Roasted Coffee to the rescue. Got someone out of town? Send them a gift from the happiest place on earth. Shop online at slowroasted.com. They'll ship it for you. Locally, you'll find Slow Roasted Coffee at grocery stores throughout the county. This holiday season, don't just drink coffee, enjoy it. Drink Slow Roasted Coffee. So good.
It's so darn good. It is. And I drink it every single day. Decaf. Half calf, actually. But I mixed the decaf and the regular, so I'm halfway there. All right, as you can tell, I'm on the air. Here's the other thing, too, I want to tell you about right away on 1340 KYNS, your news station in San Luis Obispo with Bill Benica, and that's our phone numbers because you might want them later on, or you might want them right away. I don't know. 786-2578, 786-2578. Our toll-free number is 1-866-937-1340. Excuse me. All right, let's do today, and then we'll get on to other things that are interesting. Here's our highlight in history, according to the Tribune. Our highlight in history on November 15, 1777, the Second Continental Congress approved the Articles of Confederation. On this day in 1806, explorer Zebulon Pike sighted the mountain's top known as Pike's Peak in present-day Colorado. Wasn't called that until he got there. 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt laid the cornerstone of the Jefferson Memorial in Washington. 5 years ago, O.J. Simpson caused an uproar with plans for a TV interview and a book titled If I Did It, in which Simpson describes how he would have committed the 1994 slayings of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ronald Goldman. The project was scrapped after an outcry condemning it as revolting. Still revolting. All right. But, mark my word, is he ever going to get out of prison? He's going to get out of prison. Okay, at some point he's going to get out of prison. Somebody, somewhere, some network, some one of those weird networks you hear, somebody will have him on there. Again. All right, here's our birthdays. Judge Joseph Wapner, the original People's Court guy, is 92. Actor Ed Asner is 82. Singer Petula Clark is 79. Comedian Jack Burns is 78. And actor Sam Waterston is 71. We'll say happy birthday to them. Happy birthday to you if it's yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Can I say this about Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade, if I was something? And that is that Mike's Shoes is going to be having a trunk show, a Clark's Trunk Show, this Saturday. And you're cordially invited to attend and see what's going on. You get to give a purchase. They had a little flyer in the newspaper the other day. And they had all the fancy shoes and the boots and everything that are going on. So you really like them. At this moment, am wearing Mike's Shoes. Thank you. Clark's, as a matter of fact. Clark's Mike's Shoes. So this Saturday, you can join in and have fun with the whole world.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
Okay, I was going to do a news thing, but here's the news right here. It's Tuesday, which means it's Taco Tuesday at Spencer's. It's lunchtime right now, and I didn't want you to wait an extra minute to find out about Taco Tuesday at Spencer's because it's two tacos for a buck, two tacos for $1. Who offers that? Nobody in the whole world. And while you're there, here's some things you can pick up. 59 cents a pound, fresh chicken leg quarters. They got Fuji apples are all crisp and yummy, and they're 79 cents a pound. Crystal milk is two for $5.98. And if you got the kidlets and whatnot, or your milk drink, you got it right there. Now, here's the thing. This is on sale today. Now, you got to get them today, okay? And there's still the nice weather all week until maybe this weekend. Spencer's Baja Filets. Try these Baja Filets in your barbecue. You're really going to like them. And don't forget, that's $4.99 a pound. And $1.79 a pound, the Prairie Fresh Natural Pork Shoulder Butt Roast to make your carnitas and your wonderful pulled pork and everything. It is so wonderful. Okay, what else they got? T-bone steaks are $6.99 a pound. They got fresh red filet snapper filet. Yeah, the lays of snapper at $5.99 a pound. It says weather permitting, but the weather's been okay. Haven't the fishermen are fishing? Okay. That's okay right there. Foster Farms whole fresh fryer is just 99 cents a pound. And don't forget you can order your fresh turkeys. You want a fresh turkey, a fresh, not one of them frozen jobs. You want a nice fresh turkey for Christmas, you can pre-order those right now at Spencer's Fresh Markets all over the Central Coast. And don't forget the deli section today, two tacos for a buck. They also have, you want something with that, you say, I got to have some kind of a nummy with it. They have tons of just salad after salad, coleslaws and bean salads and potato salads and all kinds of salads. And what do you call that? I don't know, macaroni salad. Is that what it's called, macaroni salad? That. And tons of stuff. Here's some, and maybe you're really hungry, you want some store-made chicken salad for $4.99 a pound. Notice I said store-made chicken salad for $4.99 a pound because. They make it right there. They use their own recipes and they're absolutely perfect. All right, that's it. booze, wine, soda pops, water, all the liquids you need to put in you, and then all the other stuff that you need is right there at your Spencer's Markets at 5 locations on the Central Coast. And get into one of them right now for Taco Tuesday, 2 for a bone in San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, or Grande, and Santa Maria. Our phone number is once again 786-2578. That's 786-2578 and 1-866-937-1340.
Cold.
I knew that was going to happen. It was the last syllable.
Time now for the ridiculous, and tonight we are adding the guy who stole this lady's bike. He messed with the wrong rider. Because it turns out that she's the most clever thing on two wheels. She managed to track down her stolen bike by herself and steal it right back. Her name is Catherine Lucas. She lives in Colorado. Her bike was stolen from outside a bar in Boulder. According to Denver news station KMGH, after she filed a police report, Lucas went on Craigslist, and lo and behold, she found a posting for a bike for sale, her bike. So she called the guy, went to his apartment, asked if she could go for a test ride. Listen to what happened next.
And so I started riding it, and I knew it was my bike, so I just kept riding it, rode it to my car, and then threw my car and drove away.
So after Lucas completed her one-woman sting operation, she gave the police the guy's address, and they arrested him. Now, the police told her that for future reference, she probably shouldn't take the law into her own handlebars, so to speak, but we look kind of love her moxie. And as anyone who has seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure knows, it is a sad truth that sometimes the police just don't take bicycle theft quite as seriously as the victim does.
What exactly leads you to believe the Soviets were involved?
Well, I know that...
Look, let me be honest with you. Hundreds of bikes are stolen every month. Very few of them are ever recovered. We just
Pee-wee
don't
Herman.
Have the
Pee-wee
resources.
Herman,
you're saying you can't do anything. My bike means everything to me.
Poor Pee-wee. He's not alone, not by a long shot. National bike theft statistics are hard to come by, and many people don't even bother reporting it when their bikes get swiped. I've had mine stolen. I never reported it. But no one is immune. Lance Armstrong had a bike stolen a few years ago, and who in the world could possibly have better bike security than Lance freaking Armstrong? I don't think we're talking about a chain and padlock here. Just a couple weeks ago, former NBA center Sean Bradley had his bike stolen, too. He's 7'6", so the bike was custom-made. It's about 50% larger than a normal bike, so someone couldn't just ride it away. Well, those guys both got their bikes back, but we're not all that lucky. As I said, I, too, have been a victim of Grand Theft Bicycle. I told the story to a Wrapped audience and live with Regis and Kelly last year. Not just stolen, but I talked to a doorman on the block where it was stolen.
Yeah.
And I, like, canvassed in the neighborhood. And he was like, oh, yeah, I saw it being stolen. and it apparently was stolen at night. Someone came, and it was parked on, it was chained very aggressively to a parking pole with,
sure, uh-huh,
with a sign saying don't park here. You know, like those things are like 8-10 feet
yeah,
tall.
Yeah, so they can't like slide it off.
A guy came with a box, put the box down, got on the box, like went, picked it up, and lifted it up all the way over
oh
the thing.
God.
Yeah,
you're
and just,
kidding.
Yeah. And
but
just,
is that the second bike?
That's
that
the second bike I've had stolen. It's true. So, Catherine, I say more power to you for getting your bike back. It was a gutsy move, a victory for riders everywhere, because maybe, just maybe, the next thief will think twice before swiping a bike and riding onto the ridiculous.
The ridiculous. All right, now here's an interesting thing, and I'm not going to whine about it or anything. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to explain it, okay? This is what I find interesting. You go to we're on Facebook, KYNS. We're on Facebook, and you can see lots of people don't like, so because I'm not poor, so they don't like them. So then they find other reasons not to like them. And so, but one of the things that people say that I find I don't quite understand, because I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I know, I mean, as a matter of fact, for 35 years I've used the newspaper one way or the other, and so when people say Bill reads the newspaper, that's what he does. That's Bill reads the newspaper. No, I comment on what I read in the newspaper. There's a difference between those two things. Right? I don't just sit here and read the newspaper. I didn't do it at home. You know, I go on the computer and read some other newspapers. But I actually comment on what I read. Unless one of those headlines that you don't have to worry about commenting on anything. It just tells it like it is. You know, okay. Well, this one is a little bit weird, though, because I don't know what they mean when they say this. This is not explained quite exactly correctly, because I'll tell you why. And former Mayor Ken Schwartz can attest to what I'm about to tell you. the sidewalks that we have in downtown San Luis Obispo, the brown cement that just gets all stained and nasty looking, all that, originally they looked pretty swell, you know what I mean? And there was a good idea. I'm not going to say it was a bad idea. Either that or Mayor Schwartz got a huge deal on brown cement. I'm not sure. But here's the sidewalk. So it's turned out over time that they went from being nice looking to like any other sidewalk in the world, kind of. Mm-hmm. So now what they're talking about, Slo Council wrestles with paying $786,500 to fix up the sidewalk areas. This is just two blocks of downtown San Luis Obispo. And so I was thinking, and they say mission-style sidewalks. So I'm assuming, because these were called mission-style sidewalks when Mayor Schwartz put them in, and after they did the Mission Plaza. So I'm assuming that they might mean, I shouldn't assume, they might mean like Santa Barbara has on South State Street, the tiles, little pavers, you know, little tiles. And that, is that what they mean? They're not telling me what they mean. But I think I'm going to guess. That's maybe what a mission-style sidewalk is. Which I have to say, truthfully, they look really nice. And they would really look nice in San Luis Obispo. But right now, of course, we don't. The big issue is money. Do we have $786,000? And we know we don't. We can borrow from the APCD. But more on that at 105. Our phone numbers are 786-2578, 786-2578, and 1-866-937-1340. So here's what's going on with that, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I've told you the story. I told it once, but now I can, I think, let's see if I can do this safe. No, I can't, because it's still in business in San Diego. Okay, so I knew the person and the company that got the contract to put the pavers in South State Street. And I told this once before, so if you've heard it, you should listen again. That's quite remarkable. So anyway, so they picked out a tile. The city picked out a tile that, you know, the brown square, what, about 8 inches square. And they picked out a tile that had a rounded top, you know, a kind of curved top to it, you know, a curved top. So a curved side. And so because it had a little panache to it, you know. So that was a really good, and they had to pay approximately, I think he told me, I don't know. Another 50% more for them. It could have been worse than that, but let's just say 50% more than a plain flat tile. And so they put, one, you know, they did one block. They did one block at one time, or they did a half a block with it. Anyway, so they put the first installation of these in. And this person that I know that sold them the tile went to look at the job to make sure everything was hunky-dory and that his part was right and all that. And so he said to the city engineer in Santa Barbara, he said, so how do you like those tiles? And he said, I think they're just fine. I like them really a lot. And so I said, okay. And then he noticed, this person I know, noticed that they had installed them upside down. So they were flat on the top instead of the curved thing they paid for. And so I said to him, I said, so did you point that out? He said, are you kidding? Not in a million years. But that's the way the rest of them went in. Okay. Whoops. The bridge to nowhere. They do look nice, though. But I don't know if we can. We can't afford anything right now. What does it cost? They had a thing in here. Let me tell you this right here. Let me look it up again. They had a cost here. This would go, by the way, Higuera Street from Moro to Garden. From Moro to Garden. Yeah, about a block and a half. Anyway, but here's the other thing. Let me get it for you. They had how much we got to pay for these new parking signs, because now, you know, you can't park on Sunday, or you got to pay to park on Sunday. So they have to put new parking signs in. So that's going to cost some money. And then they want lighting. They want underground lighting on the trees. Do you know how much that's going to cost? You mean, are we really in a recession? When I read these numbers, of course, I don't know really what's involved. I don't know how much is involved, but I read these numbers sometimes and I go, Are we really in a recession? You mean to tell me that this is the lowest bid they could possibly get on putting lighting under some of the trees? It's $81,000. Is this truly, truly a recession? Anyway, and then the other thing here, they had, I just can't find it right now. Okay, the cost grew. Oh, originally it was going to be $11,000. It grew to $102,000 to replace the signs downtown so they charging increased parking rates. Originally, it was going to cost $11,000, and now it's going to cost $102,500? Are we going out to bid on these things again, I have to ask you? Are we bidding on these things? Are we sending them out to bid? Someone needs to, I'll get Karen Veeley on this. I'll tell you, I'm going to save that and get it. I'm going to say, Karen, find out about this, would you? How can something that's estimated as $11,000 cost $100,000? Come on. Because this was just decided by, this isn't like something that they decided to do 20 years ago and add Sunday parking, or, although in the back of their minds, ever since they put the first meter in, I'm sure they have that in the back of their minds someday. They're going to charge on Sunday and at night. Anyway, that's a lot of money. How long does it take to make that up? If they put new signs that let them allow for parking money on Sunday, how long does it take to make up the $102,000? I gotta find out. Luckily, I have something to help me. All right, so what's going on with that? There's another thing in here that I read that I got kind of kicked out of. A reminder: Reverend Kurt Miner is going to be in here in this little bit. We're going to have a special Kurt Miner review here and tell you about what's going on this weekend. We got a number of things going on this weekend, too, by the way. Let me not place one before the other, but let me mention something else. On November 19th at Mr. Rick's in Avila, there'll be a fifth annual Texas Hold'em tournament, and they still need players. I know a lot of you in the past have always had fun and the great prizes and all that. And so, the other thing is, I want to find some players. There's people that want to sponsor poker players. There's people who want to donate to Bets Express, and they want to do the poker thing, but they don't play poker themselves. So the idea is that you get in there and you can sponsor somebody. So that'd be really cool. So here's who you call. You can call Greg direct because he has all the stuff, and his number is 801-4418. That's 801-4418. And when we return, we are going to talk to Reverend Kurt about a wonderful concert that's coming up. your love never fails, right there. What 1340 KYNS with Bill, and that was the group Newsboys, and we have another song, and they do Christian rock, and which has become very popular, by the way, and it's a whole new genre that's just taken off. I have the pleasure of having Reverend Kurt Miner in front of me. Hi, Rev.
Hey there.
Good, sir. We're going to talk about a great concert he has coming up this weekend. And let me remind you, in case you want to call in, you can 786-2578 in case we don't cover something, or 1-866-937-1340. So let's talk about Celebration and Song, and then I'll share something that I know about this Celebration and Song. Go ahead.
Well, we try to have something in the fall of a performance nature, usually in connection with our Fair Trade Fair that we have this coming Sunday from noon to 3 for the public. And we found that it's good for our vendors and just to let people know what Fair Trade's about, to have a performance where the intermission crowd gets to go over and also see the Fair Trade Fair.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah, we thought so.
Yeah, really.
So this year I'd actually had someone who had been doing a reader's theater in the fall for us that wasn't available, and it's like, well, what could we do? So I just kind of floated the idea out there to my theater friends of what would you think about a variety show? We'll call it Celebration and Song, and you know, dust off two of your favorite numbers or work up a couple that you've been wanting to, and we'll just kind of do a variety show, cabaret format, whatever you want. I mean, John Adams, one of our North County performers, he's going to be singing Gethsemane from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, great song,
and an
yeah.
Elvis number.
Really?
So it really is, you know, when people say, well, what? So it's everything from classic to classical to swing and jazz and just all across the board. So it's going to be a blast.
Well,
2 hours of great music.
Here you have somebody that's going to be performing, and I worked with him. And what's interesting is that apparently he's found a new voice, a new face, because he was in Arsenic and Old Lace,
yep,
that the Sorcerer Productions did, and now he's going to sing in your Sing Thing, and that's Seth Blackburn.
Do you know how far Seth and I go back?
How far?
We did a melodrama together in Ventura back in the 80s.
Really?
So, yeah, Seth and I go back
a
long
way. So Seth has had all this in his... I didn't know Seth had this in his blood there.
As a matter of fact, last night at tech rehearsal, he said that he may put things on autopilot at the other station.
We can mention it's KIQO.
Q104.5. Because he's on the air from 10 to 3. He says, I may put things on autopilot and listen in and call over there today. So, Seth, if you're listening, make good on it.
Yeah, that's right. You can make because you can do on it. You know what I'm saying? You can make good. Number 786-2578. I'm connected. All right. So, and Seth, I think that's why. And he invited me to see Arsenic at Old Lace. And you know how we talked about how you get busy and too many things come up and you're like, oh, darn. And so we didn't get a chance to see it. And I'm sorry because I really want to see. So Seth performs with Jim Wilmore and they go under the name Jim and I.
Yep.
All right. And we go ahead and mention these other people.
Well, let's see. John Adams, I say he's from North County. Seth and Jim. They actually open the show, and kind of being tongue-in-cheek, that fits both Seth and myself. Since this performance is happening at a church, their opening number is Knocking on Heaven's Door.
There you go.
So
right
that
there.
Just seemed like an obvious.
Good one.
Rosalind Crew is new to our area. She actually teaches voice at our church, and she's doing a solo and a duet with my wife. If you've ever heard Rossini's what's known as the Cat Duet,
I know what that is.
They are doing that. Jill Garcia, she lives in Los Osos, and she's doing a couple of numbers that she just really rocks the house on. Roy Henry, if you've ever seen any of the shows over at Slow Little Theater, kind of the tribute shows, mm-hmm. and he does a Ray Charles that... I swear he channels Ray. So
really?
He's doing a
Ray
couple of Ray too. Charles numbers. John Laird is doing something from Pippin and Lacage. Jennifer Malman, she's doing something from Ain't Misbehavin', the show. And let's see, she's doing a tribute to the Carpenters.
Really?
I'm going to do If I Were a Rich Man from Fiddler on the Roof. It's all-time favorite show, and I've had the pleasure of playing Tevye two different times in
good
my life.
You. Good for you.
Janice Peters is
Don't leave out the person whose name follows
Yeah.
Oh, boy,
yeah.
You've got to go home tonight, remember?
In addition to doing the duet with Roz, Linda's my beloved of 35 years, is doing a number from Follies.
Mm-hmm.
Janice Peters, who's former mayor in Morro Bay, she's doing an Adam Lambert number and something from Chicago. And then her niece, Taylor, is also doing a number from Chicago, and then a wonderful piece called Glitter and Be Gay. And it's a wonderful operetta-type piece that is just amazing, and she nails it. Sandy Schwerer does a couple of fun numbers from Beauty and the Beast and from Most Happy Fella. The Tosh Family Trio, that's Stephen and Barbara Tosh, and then Stephen's brother David, are doing some instrumental interludes throughout the show, about four of those. And then Tom Waldman is doing a number from the Will Rogers Follies. So just all over the board, and just an amazing collection of folk who said, yeah, that sounds like fun.
I think it does sound like fun. I think I'm going. And here's something I really like. And I don't know what it is with me, but like if I go to PCPA, I go to theater, whatever it is I do, I really like matinees. I don't know why. You know, if something starts at 8 o'clock at night, I'm starting to poop out by 9, you know.
Well, you know, that's what we have found when we do a full run of, say, our summer musical. We do a Friday night performance because for some people, theater is an evening.
Right.
But we find our biggest audiences are Saturday and Sunday matinees.
Yeah, I'm one of those people in that category. But I agree with you. I think Friday night's good because some people, that's what works out for them. And especially, and people go away for the weekend and that kind of thing. So, you can get some slack there. Now, let's mention this. This is, by the way, this is God Is Still Speaking Players, by the way, is the name of the group. And this is going to be at the church, United Church of Christ of San Luis Obispo. They're 11245 Los Osos Valley Road. And where's that near?
It's right by the golf course and Kitty Corner across from Laguna Middle School.
There you go, okay. So, and other people have, we just had somebody just did something not too long ago there.
Yeah, we've...
Did you do it, or do you have somebody else come in and do something there?
We did a summer musical. We did Nonsense Jamboree.
Yeah, but there was somebody else that performed at that church.
Chris Barnes has done
a couple of her.
Actually, she's the one who oftentimes does the Reader's Theaters, but she's working on a teaching credential and directing a show over at Slow Little Theater right now, so it didn't work for her schedule to
We're
to
kind
do
of
something.
Excited. Chris Barnes and I worked together at Whisper 106 and became good buds, and her brother, and her husband, Larry. I really like Chris a lot. And so I was very excited. You know, the whole mortgage thing went to heck in a handbasket. I had Chris in here during the time that things were going bad. And Chris warned people, and I want you to know this is the kind of woman she was. She warned people and said, if we can't make you a loan because we don't think you qualify, don't walk into somebody else's door. You'll be sorry.
That's right.
And she said, I can't tell you, 90% of the people walked out of our door, walked into somebody else's door. As a result, we have what we have.
That's right.
So Chris is a great lady, and I hope her teaching credential works out for her well. That's
As she, she's got a five in front of her age like I do. And she said, at this point, if what I've been doing to make a living for so long isn't going to work, I want to do something I really want to do, I have a passion for, and I think will make a difference. And working with kids and teaching them the theater craft and the writing craft, that's important stuff.
Sure it is.
I really think she's doing some good things there.
My guest today is Reverend Kurt Miner, and this is the God Is Still Speaking Players. Now, let's remind everybody, it's this Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and 20th, at 2 p.m. at the United Church of Christ of San Luis Obispo, which is, again, right next to Laguna Junior High, across from Laguna Junior High, and next to the golf course. It's the only church that's right there, so you can't hardly miss it. Plenty of parking.
Yep.
Parking's not a problem, so you can get in and park fine. And then it's admission is $15. Tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com. Boo Boo Records in San Luis Obispo, Coalice in Morro Bay, Lions of Pleasure in Los Osos are at the door the day of the performance. So somewhere or another, you're going to get yourself a ticket. And they're only 15 bones. if the good Lord comes back, he gets in free.
There you are. Definitely.
All right. I think it's going to be really, a great show, and I think it's $15 is a good price, and I think people would really enjoy this a lot. So
definitely, and we're doing it as a benefit for GALA, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, and for PFLAG, that's Parents, Friends, and Family of Lesbians and Gays. And $5 from every ticket will be split between them and all the good work they're doing here on the Central Coast.
Cool. And this reminder, in the is it going to be both days, the fair, in the fair?
No, the Fair Trade Fair is just on the Sunday.
Just on Sunday. Okay, the Fair Trade Fair is just on Sunday. So there's a lot of homemade crafts and things like that.
Yeah, and it's anything, it's vendors in town that what they sell is fair trade, and that the artisans actually make a living wage off of them. Humankind will be there. I think Sweet Earth Chocolates will be there. There's a company that they have Ugandans that make bead jewelry out of paper. We'll have some of our fair trade coffee that we always have available and have those available in gift bags and whatnot. And just to let people know that what we purchase and how we spend our dollars make a difference in people's lives.
Sure. They had. I was just reading an article just the other day about kids. What were they doing? There were kids in Cambodia. And, I mean, these were little kids. These were little kids. And they were doing some kind of heavy labor. You know, and it's just an absolutely amazing thing. So fair trade is a fair thing, and like Reverend Kirk says, the people get paid a livable wage to do it. So they get, you know, it's not like you're working for 10 cents a day. Great performers, great songs, great music. That's Saturday and Sunday, the 19th and 20th. The Fair Trade Fair is the 20th, and it's at 2 p.m. both days. Don't forget the matinees at 2 p.m. both days. I'm going to hang on. I'm going to put one of these on the wall out front. I'm going to put it on the window, and I'm going to keep one, and I'll keep mentioning this week so people know.
Excellent. Thank
you. All right.
You.
Have we left anything out, sir?
I think that's about it. God Is Still Speaking Player has been going for 3 years now, and we will be having a week in the spring, and we will be having a musical next summer. The musical we've pretty much decided on. We're going to do Snoopy, which is the sequel to Your Good Man Charlie Brown, which we did summer before last.
Good.
I'm hesitant to mention the Reader's Theater in the spring because we haven't gotten the performance rights yet.
Nah, all right. Well, you'll get them. I just know they'll come through. All right. So we appreciate you coming in. We're gonna head out with the Newsboys again with God Is Not Dead.
There you are.
Oh, come on. We just had this pipe fixed.
Well, if we had just...
I know. If we had just called Ben Franklin Plumbing like you suggested, we wouldn't need another repair.
I don't want to say I told you so, but it's no secret that Ben Franklin Plumbing is the only plumber to call. From remodels to new construction, Ben Franklin Plumbing does the job right the first time. Plus, their 7-day, 24-hour service means every emergency is taken care of quickly and correctly.
Fine. Let's call Ben Franklin Plumbing.
You'll like this part. Ben Franklin Plumbing is offering $50 off all new business. And when Ben Franklin Plumbing schedules an appointment, they're on time. Or they pay $5 a minute for every minute they're late.
Are you telling me that a plumber will pay me when they're not on time?
That's right. But don't spend that money so fast. Ben Franklin Plumbing is committed to on-time quality service.
So, what's Ben Franklin Plumbing's number?
This is your Consumer Electronics Minute. Going green with Consumer Electronics means buying products that are energy efficient and environmentally friendly. It also means you'll get a product with fewer chemicals, easier to recycle, repair, and upgrade. TVs, MP3 players, and cell phones are just some of the product categories that have gone green. The prices are comparable to regular lines, and the styles are just as sleek. To find a database of green electronics products, check mygreenelectronics.org on the web. When you're ready to buy, visit your local electronics dealer. Sometimes green electronics are not labeled, so you'll need to make sure the salesperson does their homework to ensure the product you want to buy is truly green. If you are ready to help the environment, start at mygreenelectronics.org and join the global movement to environment and energy saving. A public service from this station and the Consumer Electronics Association.
There you go. I don't know what's wrong with that guy. Anyway, you're with Bill. This is Talk Is Cheap, Prince of Neighbors Network. Let me give you phone numbers once again. Karen Vivi will be in around 105-ish, and we're going to take up the APCD once again, a different chapter this time. And maybe you have some thoughts on how would you best monitor the dune dust on the mesa? What would you do? And we'll talk about that. I have an idea, and you could have. You might have an idea. So we're going to share those. Other things going on in our world. That was it. That's it. So I'm going to have a. where were you going, Bill?
I don't know. I made a wrong turn. You know, I'm at that age.
Other people in the news. I have to read this to you. I have to share this, and I have a point. I have something. I'm going to read this to you, and then I'm going to share my thoughts about it, which is what I do. Here we have the Nothing New at School. This letter is in response to an article in the November 7th paper entitled Harassment Rife in Grades 7 through 12. This is from Pat, a woman, Pat from Creston. No big surprise about sexual harassment in grades 7 through 12. This is nothing new, by the way. I went to school in the 50s and 60s, and I was often the victim of bra snapping. Your boys came up and pulled the strap of your bra and made it snap against your back. In both the 50s and the 60s? Anyway, breast groping. I never resolved that. When I was 12, 13, I wore my coat to cover my changing body everywhere in the classroom, shopping, etc. Then in high school, it started all over again, whispering and snickering behind my back. I never talked about it back then. Currently, there are approximately 50% of students today in grade 7 and 12 experience sexual harassment. I wonder what the incidence was back in the 50s and 60s, higher or lower. There was no such thing as sexual harassment in the 50s and 60s, Pat. There was no abuse. We didn't have child abuse, you know. Your parents could just beat the living out of you. We didn't have ADD, we didn't have, bipolar, we didn't have any stuff. We were not aware. Somehow we were just not aware. I'm aware that we were not aware, to tell you the truth. That's how I feel right now about that. All right, other things are going on. Other things. So we got the sidewalks in San Luis Obispo, the healthcare law on a breathtaking path, because this is going to go before the Supreme Court. It's before the Supreme Court now, and they're going to decide. It's going to take them a while to decide, because... it's taken everybody else a while. Every other court's taken a while to decide, and then we have two different versions of what's right and wrong. So the Supreme Court's going to be, and I don't know how you even guess with the Supreme Court on this one. Honest, with all due respect, I would not bet a penny in Vegas on which way they're going to decide. And it's a 50-50 bet. Sorry, wouldn't touch it. Okay, now here's an interesting thing. And I don't know what it's like in San Luis Obispo. It can't be that. It can't be this. They were talking about in UC Merced that the students are living in these homes that, you know, they're living in the life of luxury, lap of luxury, because people just need to have somebody in a home helping to pay the mortgage. And so there's not like, you know, they're not tacking on anything. And so, and I, rents have come down in San Luis Obispo, I know, because the Cal Poly built all the housing they built out of Cal Poly. And so some kids want to make sure they can, you know, be off campus and drink their brains out. But there's other kids that say, excuse me, I'm just going to go and study and then I can go into town and drink my brains out and have the police bring me home. So it just depends on your preference. And they, and it's a huge amount of housing, that new housing they built on the hill up there. It's like, whew. And that's in addition to the housing they already had at Cal Poly. So rates have come down. I know they have. I don't know if they've come down to where, you know, people can afford swimming pools and spas and things like that and what they rent. But Merced, while they say Merced was hit very hard by this recession and the housing thing, and San Luis Obispo was not as much as we're aware. It was. You know, I mean, if you've seen the bank loan properties up for sale, you know. But we pretty much, the housing market, while it certainly has, the value has declined, it hasn't declined near as much as other places. Why? Because everyone wants to live here. Why does everyone live here? Because they want to disobey the traffic laws. And they can get away with it here because there's fewer cops. That's why. I'm convinced. Down I drive back and forth. I'm pretty sure that's why it is. Why I go work. All right. Now, this makes sense. The Aetna's going to try free heart drugs with the idea that if you give people heart drugs, you know, they can maintain their heart health, and then hopefully they won't end up with heart attacks and quadruple bypasses and all that kind of stuff. And so as an insurance company, you're actually saving yourself money. Preventive medicine, they call it. Remember that? Preventive medicine. For a long time, when the insurance companies took over, you know, and they said, okay, we're gonna run this show now. We don't care about health. All we care about is the bottom line. So we're not worried about preventive medicine. You know what I mean? We're just not going to get involved in any of that. We're not going to allow you to try to prevent something from happening to you. And then we'll decide when it does happen to you if we can somehow get out of it. You know, that policy. So anyway, I guess Aetna's trying something new altogether. Now, a second man and alleged torturer arrested. They haven't said a whole lot about this whole thing. Two guys captured this other guy, kidnapped this other dude. And this is out in the middle of nowhere, out in the valley there, and they in the California Valley. And they they used helicopters and sheriffs and all kinds of stuff, and they found these guys. And he was tortured with what? A hammer and a fork. Maybe that's the only two things they had. Okay. Not everybody has a waterboard, you know, in their basement. So I have a hammer and a fork. But they haven't said exactly how he was tortured with a hammer and fork. They haven't said what his name is. They haven't said how he did in the hospital. They haven't said anything about him. And I'm thinking that maybe, why would two other men kidnap a guy and start whacking him with a hammer and a, what have to do with a fork? My father hit me on the top of the head with his fork when I'd wise off at dinner table. Maybe that was their doing. They were doing the Benica maneuver. Anyway, but I bet drugs or something's involved in this whole thing. I don't know that. I'm just saying, I bet by the time we get the word that that's going to be what we're going to find out, that other things are involved in not just kidnapping somebody. Here was a story. Let me see something here, if I have it right here. Everybody. Of course, we did like the last one, did I? May not. Okay. Oh, here's right here. Here's the story here. No politics for Giffords until she's better. You know, she's got a way to go. I think, in a good way, I think in our heart of hearts, we're trying to get her better in our own minds. We want her to be better. You know, she's, she had two ways to go with what happened to her. She could get better and possibly back to snuff, or she could have just, you know, been in a coma forever. So, you know, this is sort of good news, and she's making incredible progress, they say, for what's happened to her, which you can imagine gets shot in the head. But I think, because she's in the media, she's in the news all the time, you know how the media is. It's in the news all the time, so everybody's like, oh, go get him, you know, and go get him, Gabby. And so, but what she says is she's hoping for a congressional return.
Nicole.
I had to do the last paragraph. It cues up better that way. I thought I've learned my lesson. Maybe not.
She sat down with ABC's Diane Sawyer for her very first interview since the January shooting that almost killed her. ABC aired a home video of her ongoing recovery, learning to walk and talk again. Sawyer also asked Giffords if she would return to Congress.
No, better.
It's better?
She wants to get better.
Better.
You want to get better?
Better.
And so you think to yourself, I'll go back to Congress if I get better.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
And that's where you are right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Suspect Jared Loftner has pleaded not guilty to 49 charges stemming from the rampage.
I was going to call it sudden ending, but okay, I will go. That's all right. We'll go. That's fine. So anyway, as you can tell, she's certainly not ready to be back in Congress at this point. And you know, remember that they had this big issue back years ago about how the succession of power would pass from the president to the vice president, where the president incapacitated and to the point that he could not be the president. You know, he didn't have the facilities to be the faculties rather to be the president, and. That's never, as far as I know, that's never come up with Congress people. It hasn't. It just hasn't come up before. So, you know, let's say Gabby Giffords doesn't get better than she is. She obviously can't be in Congress like that. So, you know, is there a time limit? Is there a point of succession, where that would take place? And I don't have the answer to that because I don't think it exists, as far as I know. It'll exist now, I promise you. Once she's decided one way or the other what's going to happen with her life and how it's going to turn out, then that will be an issue that will be raised and decided. Pretty sure. This was so fun. I thought this was the coolest thing in the whole world. Here are these Marines that were overseas at the time, got on Twitter, I guess it's Twitter, Facebook, whatever it was, and they asked famous people if they would go on a date with them because the Marine Corps, we just had it here a few days ago. It was the last weekend, I guess. The Marine Corps Ball, they have a Marine Corps Ball every year. The Marines celebrate all over the entire United States and wherever else they happen to be. So they have this big thing. So here was this girl, and her name is Kelsey DeSantis, and she's a U.S. Marine. Sergeant, from what I can see. No, is that a corporal? A sergeant. That's a corporal. And so she took Justin Timberlake to the Marine thing. He said yes. She went on the internet and said, would you go to the Marine Ball with me when I get home? And he said, yep. And they did. And then somebody else did it too. Who else? Mila Kunis, earlier this year, accepted a similar invitation to a Marine Corps Ball. So good for them. I think that's just totally cool. That shows class to me. Patti LaBelle's in a strange lawsuit. Patti LaBelle thought that a woman was not being attentive to her child in the proper manner, so she spoke to her and said, I think you should be more careful about your children. And the woman says, none of your business. And then Patti LaBelle apparently, according to the suit, according to the suit, Patti LaBelle took her bottle of water and kind of went whoosh and got her with water. You know, that could hurt. Because she was the Wicked Witch of the West, so you know that could hurt. Anyway, so there's a lawsuit now. And then we mentioned yesterday Chelsea Clinton's going to be on NBC. Then here's the thing. This is really funny. The way we're saying this completely wrong. Do you understand? The news has it completely wrong. Here's the headline. And minivan buyer finds $500,000 of cocaine. And he was an honest, forthright soul, of course, because he wasn't a drug pusher, so he didn't know. He's turned it in. Okay. So here's the thing. The minivan buyer finds, what they should have said is, well, maybe they said it. Let's do this another way. They found, they did not say it. He found X amount of pounds of cocaine that was stuffed in his door. You know, it was, they took the door panel off, and here was this cocaine because his window wouldn't work right. He bought this van from a lot, and the window wouldn't work right. So there was this all this cocaine in there. It's not worth $500,000. It's only $500,000 on the street. If it's turned over to the police, it's not worth anything. Unless they sell it, of course. But anyway, times being what they are, I don't know, I'm not sure. But so anyway, he found a bunch of cocaine that's worth absolutely nothing to him or anybody else right now in his van. And it's an exciting story. But no question, I can barely hold my breath. We're going to have Karen Vealy after the news.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Still waiting for a judge's decision whether New York City may continue to deny access to a private park by the Occupy Wall Streeters.
I'm Jim Taylor.
a standoff at Zuccotti Park, where Occupy Wall Street demonstrators want back in. Police refusing to acknowledge a court order allowing the return of the protesters. This after they were swept out of the private park in the wee hours.
In these cold winter months, they want us to stay here without our tents, without our protection.
Yeah, those tents, sleeping bags, computers, and bicycles all gone. The once trash-strewn park hosed down, surrounded by barricades and police. Jim Taylor, CBS News, New York.
Some West Coast college students rally in support of Occupy Wall Streeters there.
We say fight back!
Several thousand students have gathered here in front of Sproul Hall at the UC Berkeley campus. They are taking part in a day-long series of events. The organizers of these protests hope at the end of the day to reestablish the Occupy Cal tent city, but that's something university officials say they will not allow to happen.
CBS's Steve Futterman in Berkeley, California. New York-based Fresh Air Fund tells CBS News it sent a child to stay at Jerry Sandusky's home in the mid-90s when he was still assistant football coach at Penn State, and it's possible several children may have lived there in the 70s. What it means in the sex scandal, if anything, isn't clear. Republican Rick Perry is making some waves, in Washington at least, proposing that as president he would push to slash the cost of federal government.
It is time to create a part-time Congress where their pay is cut in half, their office budgets are cut in half, and their time in Washington is cut in half.
He'd also call for a two-thirds vote before Congress could raise taxes. The ranking Republican on the Senate Armed Services Committee says it's politics that has American troops leaving Iraq so quickly.
Iran's number one priority this year was to get all U.S. troops out of Iraq. They will now accomplish that goal.
Senator John McCain questioned whether the decision to withdraw troops was politically motivated, and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Martin Dempsey, questioned by Senator Lindsey Graham, indicated it was not a military decision on the part of the Iraqis.
Did they ever object to a follow-on force?
No, the Iraqi military leaders were universally supportive of us continuing to partner with them.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Washington.
The credit reporting agency TransUnion says more than 25% of new credit cards went to people with credit scores below 700 in the last quarter.
We see more higher-risk consumers receiving cards, and because the number of cards that are going out is essentially flat, we see less low-risk consumers receiving new credit cards.
Ezra Becker at TransUnion's research department. On Wall Street, the Dow gained about 17 points. The Nasdaq was up about 28, and oil prices $99.50 a barrel. This is CBS News.
A shopping list helps you get everything you need in one trip. So what if shopping for insurance were like shopping for groceries? You still make a list to get the coverage you need in just one place. Like with a local Allstate agent. Say your list includes your car. Check. A motorcycle or RV. Check, check. Plus a boat. Or even a small business. Check and check. An Allstate agent makes it easy to protect it all. And save. So if you're shopping for a great insurance value, well, check.
Call a California Allstate agent today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Discounts vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Heartwarming and heartbreaking to listen to Congresswoman Gabby Giffords.
Until this week, her constituents had not heard her voice since the day Giffords was shot in Tucson just over 10 months ago.
Hello, this is Gabby Giffords. I miss you.
This audio message from the Congresswoman is on her Facebook page.
I will speak better. I want to get back to work. Representing Arizona is my honor.
But on a TV special linked with the release of a book she wrote with her husband Mark Kelly, Giffords said she won't return to Congress till she's better.
I'll see you real soon. Thank you.
Dan Revive, CBS News.
Police in Somerset, Pennsylvania say a young man didn't take no easily when refused a visit to his father at the county jail. Police say he cursed, made some crude gestures, and threatened to punch the jail guards, so he got to see his dad. Inside, arrested for assault, public drunkenness, and some other things. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamond. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/flex.
The opinions expressed on Talk Is Cheaper, bills, the callers, and the occasional stray that wanders in the studio, they're not necessarily those of the owners, management, sponsors, staff, delivery people, janitorial service. Consider this a personal invitation to pick up the phone and exercise your constitutional right to express your opinion.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Shebe here. Karen Vili joins me today on 1340 KYNS and Talk Is Cheap, and we're going to talk about the APCD again today. Hi, Karen. How are you doing?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing very good.
All right. Let me bring up my thing so I have what I need to have right here. Okay.
It was a rush job to post this before racing over to the radio station, but the second part is up.
All right. So we got the second part up. So right here. Let me click on this thing here on my computer. Finally says, Bill, you're allowed to click on this now.
And the second part is primarily about emails. I have several long strings of emails between district officials, county supervisors, and people that and a person that the district and the county hired to work on the study of the Oceano Dunes. So there are emails that show the back room dealings and what was really going on with the attempts with the Oceano Dune study and the for those that don't know, there was a study that says the state parks vehicles on the state parks on the dunes at Oceano are causing particulate matter to go down to the Napomo Mesa and negatively affect the residents' health down there. So they want the state parks to do a number of things, mitigation measures. That I think will end up running about $500,000. They have to do an EIR and a number of things. And then if the numbers continue where they're at now, then state parks would have $1,000 a day fine. Now, several opponents of the study said the study was skewed and pointed that the study might have been skewed in order to be able to find the parks and make money.
Okay, let me first do this. I need to establish something with you so I understand something I don't really understand.
Okay.
And I don't think it's not something you've omitted. I don't think anybody's really asked the question. What do they consider the Napomo Mesa? Does the Napomo Mesa go from the edge of the cliffs there to the 101? Does it go to the high school? Where does it end? Where does it begin and end?
Now, and I'm not exactly sure. I think the Napomo Mesa runs behind Napomo and the cliffs. They're saying it negatively impacts Napomo and the Napomo Mesa.
Napomo meaning what, Napomo?
The city of the town of Napomo. And also the Napomo Mesa, which is like Black Lake Golf Course.
So the four stores in Napomo and Black Lake Golf Course.
And that area up in there that the new subdivisions.
Okay.
But others are others say that the dunes have naturally blowing sand. That's what dunes are. That the sand up on the mesa is because the dunes have been blowing for hundreds of thousands of years and that this is natural. And it's not going to make any difference. It just is going to bring revenue into the APCD.
Now, if you go on the website, calcoastnews.com, you can click on Talk Is Cheap and listen to us there, or you can listen to it on the radio. And the other thing, too, is, and then people have already responded, like here's one person that said, what happened? How come all of 10 people listen to Bill Benica? That's not true. I know that 11 do. I've counted them myself, personally. All right.
I think yesterday there was almost as many comments early in the afternoon about going on your show as there were. I don't know, there was a string of comments.
Let's do something to clear the air. First, let me give out the phone numbers again. 786-2578, 786-2578, and 1-866-937-1340. You can call, and that's a toll-free number, 1-866-937-1340, local 786-2578. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call while Karen's here, or anytime. So let's once again clear the air here and get this thing done. Karen and Dave Connelton have parted ways amicably, and Dave's doing his life, and Karen's doing her life. And Karen said, can I do my life with you on 1340? And I said, yes, you can. So that's kind of how life is going.
Yes, and I've been coming on Bill Benica's show for about 3 months, and I also do some on Tom's Adam Attiel and Andy Caldwell, and right now there is said Dave would rather me not go on his show, so that's
that.
Yeah, that's that.
Okay, so nothing more needs to be said, but let's go on about the APCD. I'm just dying to get my idea out here.
Okay, what is your idea?
First off, though, we still have to, some would have to define to me, when they're measuring particulate matter now, they said they put a thing by the firehouse. right?
Yes.
Where's the firehouse? What is in the middle between the
firehouse
the ocean and
is on Oceano, is on the Highway 1 in Oceano. It's, I think there's two rows of trees between it and the dunes. There's the study was based on a number of things, and that was one. And the allegations are, how can you say that that's the wind speeds on the dunes when by the time it hits there, there's two rows of trees? And the reason that's important is because the study's based on, well, if wind speeds hit the sand like this, and there's dust blowing up to the dunes. You know, there's a natural amount of dust that blows in sand dunes. It just happens.
But here's my thinking, and I don't understand why this is so hard. This is Bill Benica's idea to how you measure pollutants and sand particles on the mesa. You take it, put it on the other side of the two trees. Number one, put one monitor there. Put another monitor halfway to Napomo. Put one in Black Lake Golf Course if that they're saying that's a problem there, and then put a fourth one in Napomo proper. I don't think it's going to go all the way to the high school. I have a feeling it's not going to go that far, but let's just say. So now you have four monitors, and you monitor those things on a continuous basis, and so you get an average of what, you know, you're getting per day. All right? Then what you do is it has to be in the summertime because you have to be assured that you're going to have good enough weather for people to be on the dunes, and then you tell them they can't be. You put a sign up that says, in 1 month on this day, like Caltrans does on the off-ramps, these dunes will be closed for 1 day. All right, the state's not going to go bust for 1 day. So you'd have all that. You can take the measurements all year if you want. You can take them just in the side. It doesn't matter. The point is you're going to have all this information, and then you close the dunes down for a day. Then you take a measure. They measure all those places and say, okay, how much dune dust do we have again now? Okay, because it's closed, and it's normally a vehicular time. And then the next day, when you know people are going to be there, this is July 4th,
yeah.
You open it up and you say, fine, have fun, go out there and kick up dust. Then you measure that.
Well,
What's wrong with that?
I see numerous problems with your idea. There's 300 pages of data that was taken, and the winds vary very much from month to month and day to day. You can have one day where you're going to have much more particulate matter because of the amount of, you know, air coming through. I have an idea. Okay. And here's what I think, and this is some of the complaints about the study. Only 10% of the dunes has cars on it. 90% of the dunes do not have cars on it. So why not put on over by the section without cars at the same height, maybe three different heights, and this is, I think, what the state wanted to do. They wanted to have three different heights of monitors in areas without vehicles and then in an area with vehicles. What they complained about with the district's study was that the timing wasn't the same. In some area, in one area, they didn't do the same month. In another, they added an extra March in one study. And in the control group, they had less months. And then they also had monitors at different heights. So you have a 20-foot monitor and a 12-foot monitor, you're going to get different ratings. So they wanted it to be more consistent throughout the study. But then even though there were those complaints about the study, one of the other complaints was that it, in the beginning, when you looked at if you look at the study, there's 300 pages of data you can get online. If it's added up, weekdays have more PM10, which is the larger size of particulate matter, blowing, than they do on weekends. There's more cars in the dunes on weekends. So when people were first looking at it, they said, even though the study doesn't look good, it verifies this. Well, at that point, the district changed the methodology, and they had a gentleman, he's not a PhD, and I can't remember what his degree is in, but he's an air specialist with the district. He was the primary on the study. But again, he's also paid, and that's his job there. So they determined they're going to do the 50 biggest days, heaviest days, which is like an average of 3,000-something cars in the dunes, and the 50 worst days, which have an average of about 300 cars in the dunes. And we'll look at those two sets of data and just vary it from that. The only problem with that, if you look at the dates of those, I think eight of the lowest 50 were absolutely pouring, and most of the rest were wet, or when wet, damp weather. Then you have hot summer, dry weather, where you have the most cars in the dunes. It's what Ed Waggie, who is a chemist that's also on the board, says if you got wind and dry sand, it's going to blow more than wet, rainy sand.
Yeah, sure. Which stands to reason. Well, okay. Let's put the two together. Let's get a bibbly bobbly boo here. So what we do is you do your monitor idea, okay? But what you do is if you go to John Lindsay from the National Weather Service and say, John, what 2 days in the last 50 years, what two consecutive days, one being a weekend day and one being a weekday day, what days have consistently had winds? 90% of the time, the winds are out of the northeast anyway. So we say, okay, what days can we pretty much depend on the fact that, you know, we're going to have back-to-back days that have northeast winds, winds out of the northeast at, you know, 15 miles an hour? And you gamble on the fact that that is going to happen.
But the chance, I mean, the weather is but so let's, oh, you need a longer, broader.
Well,
study.
I'm trying to shut down the dunes without driving everybody crazy. Because I'm gonna have people from Bakersfield at my window over here with pistolas and whatnot.
Well, you know, the issue is this isn't. You seem to get a lot of passion with this subject. I don't like the dunes. I'm against the dunes. I'm against wasteful gas. I had one environmentalist who absolutely saw some of the emails that I'm working with. And though she would like the dunes shut down, she thinks the study needs to be voted out on Monday or tomorrow, on Wednesday. And her reasoning is what they're voting is that they approve the study and that the cars are to blame on the dunes for the sand up on the mesa. What Ed Waggy and others are saying, you need to do a real study, a verified study, and make sure things are correct. And the story I put up today is primarily about a number of emails between county officials and county staff, or not county officials, district, the county air pollution control district, staff and officials, and a man, Cahill, who works, he is a physics professor at UC Davis. Now, the interesting thing is the bulk of the study was done by a gentleman named Joel Craig here in town that works for the district. He put the study together and... Then they brought in Cahill to do some of the work. But then that's where it gets interesting. Cahill knows Bruce Gibson. So the idea was that they were bringing in someone that was non-biased and wasn't on one side. And Bruce Gibson is heavily behind this study. There are emails showing that he was in constant contact with Larry Allen and regularly, at times, telling them what to do in regards to make this go through. There's talk about money. There's talk about the importance of this working. And then you have... Cahill comes into work, and they have Cahill doing work before he is approved, his contract is signed, and it is a done deal. Well, UC Davis Finance Department says, you know, you can't accept the $120,000 that they're supposed to pay you for this because you had not had a contract yet. Well, the Cahill writes back to the district and says, well, why don't we play with the numbers and say I was working at another time so I can get paid? And in emails, they talk about deceiving, you know, UC Davis Finance said, you can't do that. That's not legal. So they decided to cheat and change the dates. And that's in emails. It absolutely happened. The district was involved in allowing him to do that. Then you have, at one point, they want to bring the public in and let the public know more about the study. Bruce Gibson finds out about it, and I can't remember the exact wording of the story, but it's something like someone from the district tells Cahill, you can't come down. Bruce Gibson just had a cow, and we're going to have the council meeting we've already sent out a press release for. He does not want this becoming public at this point, this, and this. There's also a number of emails about Ed Waggy, and you have it in front of you, and if you don't mind, I think it's 3 or 4 paragraphs down. His first quote is really good. But they're emailing back and forth. At first they just call him the chemist with a Ph.D., and they talk about how smart he is, and they're worried because he is looking in and reading the study. Then you have a comment in an email where they actually... Do you have that email on the top?
Email show the board has known about the problem with its study. Air Quality District Air Specialist Joel Craig, who authored the bulk of the disputed study, wrote an email in which he said that the Air Quality District board member and Pismo Beach City Council member, Ed Waggy, had uncovered mistakes in the study. Waggy figured it out, and I say it's embarrassed us to the board, Craig wrote.
There are several emails where they talk about the errors that Waggy uncovered. Meanwhile, you have a Supervisor Adam Hill, you have Supervisor Bruce Gibson, and you have Larry Allen telling people in town that Ed Waggy is wrong, that his ideas are flawed, that there's nothing wrong, that he is not capable of reading the study. The Tribune did stories on Ed Waggy. making it look as if this man just came out of nowhere acting like he knew about air quality.
All right, here's one of the things you said. However, the authors of the study stated in emails that Waage had discovered some of the study's flaws. In 2009, Craig tells Cahill they need to be cautious because with a Ph.D. in chemistry, Waage was checking the data methodology and research conclusions. This is why we feel we need to be super-duper careful double-checking everything prior to releasing the report, Craig wrote. But and then down here, you had another thing in here that was just a bit of a shock. This had to do with the flaws in the study. And let's see if I can find it here. Please forgive me because I saw this for the first time. When
I put it up about 20 minutes before I headed over here.
Yeah, so I didn't have time to see this, but anyway. But again, it had to do with adding points to these numbers.
Okay,
to
that,
make it look
that actually we broke on CalCoast News probably about 5 months ago. What they are also doing is just on the Napomo Mesa. Now, this test, the only thing they're trying to blame on the off-road vehicles is PM10, which is a larger type of granule that would be caused by either sand or from car exhaust. So they're looking for PM10. Throughout the county, the highest levels of PM10 are over on the Carrizo Plains and on that side of the county. They were actually manipulating the numbers by 5 points, not 5%, 5 points, which would put about 100 days a year into the dangerous category, where they're wanting the schools, the elementary schools, to fly flags. So when parents show up and they, you know, they have little kids and they see a yellow flag flying, the air is no good, but it actually should be a green flag, but they've manipulated the numbers. They did this for quite some time. They admitted it in a meeting, and Larry Allen looked over at Bruce Gibson, who was the head of the head of the Air Pollution Control Board, and said, you know, we just did what we decided to do, what you and I talked about. We added 5 points to protect public health. So they're claiming they've done this to protect public health, but, you know, if you have a child with asthma and you see that yellow flag running, are you going to let your child play outside that day?
No.
And so there have been a number of things that they have done that have been slightly manipulative about making the study work one way. And I have emails where they say, oh, it's going to be a great day tomorrow. Let's make sure we have that one thing working. And, oh, we got a great reading. We're going to make this work. This was not an unbiased study. This was a study meant to blame the air pollution or the higher particulate matter in the Napomo Mesa on the dunes. And Waage wants to find out what it's caused from. If it's just natural, they aren't even legally allowed to mitigate environmental.
Yeah, right. Now, so let's remember what's at stake here. And here's the reason, once again. If we go back to yesterday's meeting with Karen, we talked about how the APCD basically pays itself by the money it fines and fees people. So, and what they want to do, $1,000 a day? What's that said?
$1,000 a day anytime they go over, plus some other, you know, they'll also be, other than just the fines, they'll also be able to get their permit fees. And I, for example, Morro Bay Power Plant, I think, does $300,000 a year in permit fees. Cal Poly does close to that. There's a lot of agencies that are not polluting that they have to do very high permit fees to the air district for them to come out and check them constantly. So there's not just the fines. This could be something that the air district could have a fairly substantial flow of money coming in from. But you know, the bigger issue is if it's, you know, these are taxpayer funds. If the state has to put $500,000 into the EIR and all the mitigation, and then they have to put out this money, this is tax, you know, it's coming from the taxpayers. But we're talking 10% of the dunes, and if the cars in the dunes really don't make that much of a difference, and it is, you know, you've got 90% of the dunes and it really doesn't do anything, is this an expenditure of taxpayer funds? What Waage would like to do is see an accurate study done, and then to have everyone work together cooperatively, not with a fine-based schedule or a way for the, you know, a fee-based schedule for the air district, but work together cooperatively to try to figure out what can be done in the community to help the people on the Napomo Mesa.
Now, here, I'll make a statement so we can see, get people fired up. Because the people that hate the dunes hate the dunes, and the people that love the dunes love the dunes. There's not too many people that are right in the middle somewhere, which I am. I look at it this way. They've been riding on the dunes since the car was invented. You know, since they first had cars on the California coast, they've been riding up and down the dunes in that same area. What do we have? 1,200 miles of coast. I think 1,200 miles of beaches, not coastline, but 1,200 miles of beaches, I believe, in California thereabouts. So we have 1,200 miles of beaches. You're taking one of those miles and using it for recreational use. And I have a hard time with somebody complaining about that. Now, if there's a health issue, there actually is a health issue. I don't mind people complaining about that and saying, well, this is no good because, you know, that 1 mile is in the wrong place apparently because it's screwing up, you know, people for, and breathing. But if it's not doing anything, I don't understand when other people recreate in a way that you don't, you know, why people get so vehemently opposed to it. They just get crazy over the whole thing. And it's like, well, you don't do it, but you may do something else. You know, you may quilt and people think that's weird. I don't know, you know.
And in the past, I grew up in the area, and I remember being young and this has been a battle, and I really don't fall on one side or the other. But in the past, it was more about, you know, we should have the beach open for houses. People would move there and not want cars running up and down the dunes. And then you do have some environmentalists that just think, you know, you don't drive a car unless you need to, and it's wasteful on gas and this type of thing. But, you know, before you can point at it being a problem with cars, I think there should be a very responsible, accurate study done that truly looks at you know, fairly looks at what is going on, and by someone that's not biased.
And that's the bottom line here. We have to have somebody that has no particular interest in this thing, except, you know, they get paid to do it, I guess.
The state has sent several letters over to the APCD telling them that if they start doing this and they haven't had a truly scientific study, and they have, you know, they're aware of the emails. I've been told that they have the same emails I have. So they're aware of the backroom dealings. They all signed a memorandum of agreement probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. And that promised that they'd cooperate together, they'd share all the data, they'd share everything they were working on. Well, meanwhile, you know, Gibson and Allen and several of these guys are shooting back emails saying, you know, let's keep, you know, the Air District is looking at this. The Air District was saying, we're running this test, we're running that. Well, we don't want them running that because we just want them to pay. You know, we just want them to agree to what we've asked.
Now, let me ask you a question. What is there a particular reason? Is there a friendship? Is there what is Bruce Gibson's motive for being in the middle of this?
Bruce Gibson is on the board of the APCD, and he was on the supervisors. There were a couple comments about money coming in, about the money they could get. And in the past, the County Board of Supervisors has tried to get money from the state park. They tried to get a dollar a car. They have, on several occasions, tried to find some way to monetize it other than just the money it brings into the county, which I'm not exactly sure. I think it's like $1.8 million a year or something. It brings in a substantial amount spent at hotels, gas stations, grocery stores. I was talking to Kajo Asajian, and he said the FPPC asked him how much you make. And he said, you know, on the dunes, you make $2,000 a year. And he said, on a good day, I make $2,000 a day at my gas station. So the dunes do help the public.
All right. We have on the phone somebody calling. Your first name and where you're from?
Kevin in San Luis Obispo.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
You know, my take on this is if you sell Hoover vacuum cleaners door-to-door, you're going to knock on somebody's door and go, hey, look, your carpet's dirty. And I think the Air District is trying to sell their product, and in doing so, they're, you know, with these forecast manipulations, they're trying to tell people, well, you've got a problem down there, and we're your solution. So people can look to them to provide something which promotes their agency. You know, the agency's running right now like a rock star. They've produced a new agency logo. They've got Twitter. They've got Facebook. You know, it's kind of like a media campaign to promote themselves. And I think it's in their best interest of promotion to make people think the air is bad so that they look to the Air District as a solution to their problems.
Yeah, so in other words, if they don't find things wrong, then what are they doing? What do they exist for? So they have to find things wrong.
Right, and the problem is the air in the Pomo, this county was awarded twice the number one cleanest metro air in the country for particulate matter by the Lung Association. And when we're talking about the air forecasts in the Pomo, you know, there's six levels to the EPA's Air Quality Index scale, and the yellow level is the second level up from the bottom, which is right below unhealthy for sensitive groups. So we're between good and unhealthy for sensitive groups, we're not bad air quality. And by elevating these forecasts, there's been a lot of public fear put out to where these people on the Mesa are showing up at meetings wearing dust masks and coughing and blending every sort of illness on the dunes. Well, there's people with COPD all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, I have a cough. It must be because of the off-road riding.
And let me put my cigarette out when I say that. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry. I thought you had a comment.
No, I did, but go on.
So the problem is they're overselling how bad the air issue is down there. We're barely above the good level into the moderate level, which doesn't reach unhealthy for sensitive groups. So if we're not unhealthy for sensitive groups, how's everybody on the Mesa coming down with COPD and dying off? It just doesn't make sense. And in fact, they were manipulating that forecast to raise the perceived level. And if you, nobody looks at the weather the day after, but if you go back and you look at what the actual air quality was like the next day, it really wasn't as bad as they're making it out to be.
Okay.
And the overriding problem to this whole thing is you got 20,000 acres of sand dunes that didn't crawl out of the sea. They were blown out of the sea, and there's going to be dust near those sand dunes.
And one interesting issue with Kevin. Kevin is an advocate of the off-road vehicles. He is the one that discovered the 5%, and the district did say that it was happening. But we have Kevin's more on the conservative side, and we have some very liberal posters. And several people, there's someone that goes by Typo Queen, and she owns a business down that area. They usually don't have any of the same ideas. On this one, they're actually melding. And the one thing she asked Kevin, she said, well, you know, Larry Allen says you get paid as a paid lobbyist. Well, several people have been on Kevin quite a bit thinking that he's paid, but he says he is absolutely just doing this because he wants to keep the dunes open.
So well, that's just a mean to impugn my statements to make people believe that I'm paid by some off-highway vehicle industry. And, you know, I'm in this for the same reason that everyone is into advocacy. They believe in something. And I spend a lot of personal time researching these matters. And it drives you nuts when people just have a tacit knowledge base of what's going on, and you hear all these assumptions that are absolutely untrue.
Larry,
the air quality in a Pomo is excellent.
Larry, let me ask you a question. Somewhere along the line, they're going to have to do a study, and somebody's either going to prove it or disapprove it. It's going to happen. So if you had your druthers, what do you think they should do to do a study on the dunes? What would you do? What would you say, okay, this will be a fair way to do this. What's fair to you to say, okay, let's find out the truth? I'm not saying what's fair to off-road vehiclers. I'm not saying what's fair to the people on the Mesa. I'm saying what's fair to find out the truth. How would you conduct a test?
Well, we need to conduct a study that's closer to the vehicle area that attempts to ascertain what the natural component is and what the vehicle-induced component is. And their study didn't do that. They measured from 2 miles away and just said, hey, there's a lot of dust coming from the dunes. Hey, it must be the vehicle. Well, those dunes are formed by the wind blowing the sand out of the sea. And the USGS estimated 500 million pounds of sand a year gets blown out of the sea onto our coastline. It is not possible to have 500 million pounds of sand blowing around without dust in the air.
Now, when they took these measurements on days supposedly that this PM10 thing was affecting the Napomo Mesa, were there days that there weren't vehicles on the beach that had PM10 particles?
Yes.
According
correct.
To that. Okay.
And so what they did is they developed this theory that there's a fictitious crust on the dunes, that the vehicles break the crust, and then that liberates the sand particles to be entrained by the wind. And they got that idea from Owens Valley. And you might be familiar with Mono Lake that the L.A. DWP sucked dry.
Right.
And so now it's this dry salt lake with a salt crust on it. And they transferred that idea from this dry salt lake onto our dunes. Well, there's no salt crust on our dunes, and that's all fresh sand that comes out of the sea. There's no crust at all. A state geologist has weighed in and said there's no crust, and they continue to insist there's a crust, even though there's no geologist working for the Air Pollution Control District. They just fly in the face of all these professionals.
Thousand bucks a day is a good motivator.
Yeah, well, it could be more than that, because if fines persist, then the fines escalate. And then at some point, maybe the the state says, you know, just due to the liability alone, we're going to shut it down on a windy day. And they say they're not going to close our park, but there's side effects that could close the park.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And I appreciate your call, Larry. Thanks for joining in.
Kevin.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks, Kevin. Bye. Kevin, I'm sorry. Kevin was from San Luis Obispo. So Kevin's an advocate of off-roading, and so now people blame him for being some kind of a paid lobbyist from the people, and that's why he's raising so much heck. All you have to do is read the letters to the editor in the Tribune and Santa Maria Times and whatever, and you're going to find out that there are many, many advocates to off-roading that are pretty torqued off about the way this whole thing's kind of blowing. Now, here's that's not supposed to be a pun. Here's the thing that I'm going to ask you, though, because here we go back to Bruce Gibson. So yesterday you explained to us that the APCD, Board of what am I going to say, Advisory Committee, is made up of the five superintendents, five district supervisors, five supervisors, and then seven citizens from the seven incorporated cities.
Seven city council members.
Oh, it's seven city council members.
Yeah, so each city sends a city council member.
So none of the people that are involved so far, from the APCD to the advisory committee, none of the people have actually the educational background that would be demanded of this kind of a study to begin with.
Not the majors on the study. They did the one gentleman, Cahill, who approved the study. Again, he's tied to Gibson, and he was paid to kind of go over some of the math and stuff and do some technical aspects with the study after it was done by a district employee. But no, I think he's a physicist. But there have been several groups that look at dunes and people with the type of, there's a geologist actually in Pismo Beach. What's his name? He's one of the city council members. He actually worked on dunes when he was working as a geologist. And he got up and said, this is ridiculous. This is what happens. He explained how.
Not Ed Waggy.
Not Ed Waggy, no.
Some belt.
He's a chemist.
Okay.
But you have a couple PhDs that did this, you know, that have done this, that have said this absolutely does not make sense. But Waggy would like to see a study done, just something more accurate.
Okay, let me get another phone numbers out again. And then I have a really, really, really important question to ask you, because somehow this has to tie together, and we have to know why. Our phone numbers are 786-2578, that's 786-2578, or 1-866-937-1340. I wrote Kevin's name down, but I forgot to look down and see it, so I'll try to do better if you call in. Kevin, I apologize to you, sir. And we do have another call. I still need to find out the connection between Bruce Gibson and, quote, the supervisors in the county and the APCD. So let's take this phone call.
Okay.
And you think, is there like they're going to get a cut of the action, or what's the point? But don't answer that yet. Let's take a phone call and say hi to hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
This is Mike Metascadero.
Yeah. You know, listening to your guests yesterday and today, Karen, the information that you've got, I mean, this sounds like something that the mafia would have come up with. A protection system that's autonomous to itself, that answers to basically nobody, and, really don't seem to accomplish anything as far as fixing anything that they say that they're looking at or complaining about. It's just basically the way that it used to be in old Chicago, where they would put a sticker on your window and you'd pay whatever amount of protection money a week, a month, a year, and that sticker basically kept the polar bears from attacking your facilities. I mean, isn't that what this appears to be, you know, that they're doing?
Several people have said that they think that when they send you a letter saying, give us $300,000 next month or, $10,000 by Friday, it does appear to some that that's kind of that type of enforcement. And that's a comment that I probably heard from 20 people in the last week.
All right, here's the thing. Let me read this sentence, and Mike, stay with me, because I got to get this connection with Karen. Gibson and Allen, that's the director there, Larry Allen, have argued that, he's the APCD guy, have argued that the board's intention is not to create another stream of revenue, but rather protect the public health. which, understanding from yesterday how they protect the public health, I would have to agree with you, Mike. It doesn't sound like that's really the main goal here. But okay, let's say altruistically, perhaps it is a little bit, but it's also a revenue stream. But here's what I'm not understanding: if the revenue stream goes to the APCD, and that then all goes to the county, or it stays with the APCD? How does Bruce Gibson benefit from the APCD winning this?
He is on the board, and I do not think he's paid substantially to get on the board, and I honestly do not know why there is a push to why there's the involvement that he has. And I was a little surprised that he was actually able to cancel meetings and make decisions to the degree that he is, according to emails. What they have is they have about $4 million in money spent every year. About $3 million goes into salaries, and then between $500,000 and $800,000 a year usually goes then to subcontractors who they're refusing. You know, I asked them for a list of those. I got a list of numbers. So they've been very closed on allowing expenditures to contractors. So there is some expenditures that I'm still working to see where they're going and to see if there are any ties to anyone in the community, you know, any officials.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
Some of the things that you were talking about yesterday, it sounds like that because you were saying that basically they were working against state law, and yet straight out telling you and anybody else that said anything, well, that's the way that we do it.
They
now,
have
yeah. many complaints to Sacramento about them.
I don't know if there have been a lot of complaints to Sacramento. I think that things, you know, especially if this ends up being something going on at air quality boards throughout the state, we're going to have a multi-part series. This is just the beginning. But there are a lot of different issues regarding how this is done. But there is absolutely a failure to comply to different Brown Act laws and Freedom of Information laws that they are a government agency and they are supposed to be following. But the other issue is you're very often a district attorney will get involved, but in our county, we've never seen this happen. We're a very small county. There's a lot of friendships, and you're going to the same restaurants, going to the same golf courses, and there has not been oversight on a regular basis over government officials.
All right, Mike.
Well, let me thank you for the investigating that you're doing. It's really incredible, and it definitely needs to be done.
Thank you, Mike.
Very much.
Right. We're going to have to pretty soon wrap this thing up because I got people that want to pay the bills. But this will be an ongoing thing. Are you going to have another thing up tomorrow or just sometime?
No. The next parts will be up next week. Cal Coast News editor is in New York looking at a conference regarding media and news and some different things with the news. And so that's why these two went up quickly. I also wanted to get this part up before the vote tomorrow. But the next two segments will come up early next week.
All right, and you'll be in Friday.
Yes.
All right, Karen Vila will join me again on Friday on Talk is Cheap and 1340 KYNS. And you can, of course, go to calcoastnews.com anytime you're online, and see what's going on. And you'll find out what Karen has to say and what she's doing, and I think it's a good idea.
It's a jungle out there, a messy tangle of eat at the same old place, do the same old thing, unless you have Living Social. Living Social finds places you never knew about, fun things you haven't tried, and half-price deals on it all, from sushi to NASCAR, wine to watercolors. You could save 65% on a slimming body wrap, or even 70%. See the best, most civilized side of your town. Sign up for free at livingsocial.com right now and start saving at least 50%.
Love your Pandora bracelet.
Oh, thanks. He went to Jared.
That's Jared.
Whether you're looking for charms, rings, or bracelets, you'll find the Pandora collection at Jared the Galleria of Jewelry to be truly remarkable. With literally hundreds of designs, only the store with five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores could bring you a Pandora collection like this. Life has its moments. Make them unforgettable with Pandora Jewelry at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, Wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California. Charter Internet is keen on giving you more. Not a little more, a big more, as in more speed, which means more streaming hoops, more celebrity scoops, more posts, more boasts, more webcam, more cousin Pam. By delivering more speed, we make the web more fun. Moreover, it doesn't cost more. To learn more or sign up today, visit charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply. Your favorite word is not rutabaga, shimmy, or Xanadu. No, your favorite word is free, because it makes other words better, like guilt-free, termite-free, and faster internet speeds for free. That's what Charter customers just got, allowing them to feel footloose and fancy-free as they download more freely. Don't have Charter internet? Feel free to sign up at charter.com/freefast. Increase for Express and Plus customers only. Service not available in all areas. Other restrictions may apply.
You're now in Bill Benica's world, where talk is cheap.
Talk is cheap right here. 1340 KYNS, your news station. We thank Karen Bailey for coming in today and doing an update. She's got lots on her plate here this last few weeks, and she's doing a heck of a job on top of that. Thank you for joining us. And thank Kevin once again for calling in to Mike. And we had another caller at the very end, but I didn't have time to take it. We had to get some stuff in. That's the way it works. It just has, it works there. All right. What do I have left to tell you today that I should get to? That needs to be known, that it's a fact, that has to be said, that we should look at. Well, this is a strange tale. That is a strange tale. I'm going to read you something out of the paper. Deep chilling patients to save them. Some say trauma victims could survive being cooled to 50 degrees, giving doctors time to fix them. Many trauma patients have injuries that should be fixable, but they bleed to death before doctors can patch them up. The new theory, putting them into extreme hypothermia, just might allow them to survive without brain damage for about an hour so surgeons can do their work. In a high-stakes experiment funded by the Department of Defense, the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center is preparing to test the strategy of a handful of trauma victims who are bleeding so badly from gunshots, stab wounds, or similar injuries their hearts stop beating. Today, when that happens, a mere 7% of those patients survive. Get cold enough, and you do okay with no blood for a while, said the lead researcher. So it doesn't matter what type you have. If you have no type, you are bloodless. That's a really weird thing. But see, you have to remember also, if you say 50 degrees, you can kind of sense what 50 degrees is. It's not warm by any matter, but it's not freezing cold. It's just cooler. I'll go with that. Cooler, I'll say. All right. Other things that are going on. I thought that was an interesting story. I wanted to tell you about that. French hospital. That's the sponsor of the French hospital, Cal Poly Mustang. Earns a national cardiac honor. So you go there, they'll put you down to 50 degrees and they'll fix your heart. And it was among 15 centers named in the community hospital category. And a study evaluates all kinds of stuff. And there they are. I am running out of time. It's too bad. I wish I had more time. I do not. But thank you for being a friend today.
Keep smiling. Keep shining. Knowing you can always count on me. What's your
Abe Scrin and Keith Allen. And then we'll get together again tomorrow. This is Bill Benica on 1340 KYNS, San Luis Obispo. We'll get together tomorrow at noon. Until then, may your trails be happy ones and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye.
Happy trails to you.